Welcome to a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Let me suggest something that I think every one of us would like to do, and that is to improve. We want to do better, we want to be better, and this, of course, is a matter of growth. Regardless of what we're doing, we may be doing pretty good. We would still like to improve. If we're not doing so well, we certainly want to improve. And as we live the Christian life, it's evident that there are areas where we need to grow and we need to improve. Now, there are two ways to encourage and provoke people to improve. And one is by encouraging them to do better, by commending their efforts and what they're already doing. And another way is to point out shortcomings and to constructively criticize so that there can be improvement in those areas where it is needed. Now, possibly the method of encouragement is that which most of us would prefer, and in the long run is probably the most effective way. The Lord has taught and led His people in the paths of righteousness by using both methods. So we use both methods. We need a proper mixture of the positive and the negative. All of the one to the neglect of the other won't accomplish the task. Now, there are various ways to bring criticism and various motives for doing so. We want to criticize constructively, if we criticize at all. We want to seek the right kind of growth and the right kind of improvement and a good response to that is needed. You know, just to criticize, just to find fault, that's not beneficial to anybody, and it certainly does not reflect a very Christian attitude. We don't need to make fun of people or be inconsiderate of their feelings, but we should be anxious to help and hoping and working for that which is better. But we want to be frank and plain, but we want to be kind. There is no need for tongue-lashing and belittling others, but we should be able to assume that Christian people, they really want to know what they can do to improve in their Christian activities, whatever they are. We seldom see ourselves as others see us, and for this reason we ought to receive criticism in the right sort of way, regardless of the motive somebody might have for criticizing us. We need to listen to what they have to say. They may be pointing out something that we need to know, and an area where we can improve. And there are certain areas that the Christian can improve. And may I suggest, first, we need to improve our singing in our worship services. You know, singing is one of God's ways for a man to worship God. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Singing is the kind of music that God has authorized for His people to offer to Him. There are 9 references of Christian music in the New Testament, and every one of them is singing. And there's no authority for the use of the mechanical instrument of music to use such an innovation as to add to what God has directed, and of course that's forbidden, 2 John verse 9. But sometimes our singing seems so wonderful, at least as far as humans can determine. And thus we determine by the quality of the singing, by the number of people who participate, how interested brethren seem to be in that portion of worship. Of course, we do not presume to judge the hearts of those who are singing. That's between them and God. We don't determine how acceptable another person's worship might be from the heart. But is there not reason that our singing to be as enthusiastically participated as we certainly can? At times, our singing is just absolutely marvelous, it seems, from all signs. Now, many consider the way that the song service goes as being somewhat of a spiritual thermometer for the congregation. It does seem that when the singing in a congregation is good, the interest in the church is good. The interest in the worship is good, and it suggests a real support of what the church is to do and is doing. It's distressing that some never singing. They have good leaders to lead us in our singing, but some, they just sit there and they just wait till it's finished. Friend, nobody can worship for you. If you want to improve, here's something that you can do to improve. You can improve the worship service in singing by being a participant. Now, you may not be what one might think, I have a great quality of voice. That's not the important thing. But singing to honor God, that's a privilege, like the other items of worship are a privilege. And we ought to do our best. We ought to make improvement along that line. And there's another matter where it becomes obvious that maybe we can improve the spirit of reverence in our worship. Now, we readily recognize, don't we, that the noise level in a worship service, that sometimes measures the amount of reverence in that service. We know that the environment makes a great difference in maintaining a reverential atmosphere. We need to keep to a minimum the distractions, the noise, the interruptions that sometimes people may do intentionally or unintentionally. Yes, getting up and walking around and going to the water fountain or to the bathroom, that needs to be eliminated with a little thought and planning. And we realize that children sometimes cause distractions, and that's to be expected. We certainly do not discourage keeping children in the worship services as long as they're not a distraction. When they become rowdy or unpleasant or crying, parents can, of course, take them from the assembly quite easily and quietly and not allow them to continue to be a distraction. But babies sometimes will be distracted. Children sometimes will not be just exactly as they ought to be. But do you know, children learn so much being in the worship service. I discourage this idea of taking our children out of the worship services. They need to be there with their father, with their mother, to see them observing the things that are to be done. They learn so much in the worship service. And another thing that we can do to improve, and that's when our brethren are called upon to lead the congregation in prayer. Those who lead the prayer ought to be sure that they can be heard. Now, it may not be anything but shyness on the part of some that they don't speak up, but it is distracting to others to come to worship and not be able to hear what is said. There's an imaginary story that's told about a certain worship assembly where suddenly a man in dazzling white apparel appeared at the entrance. He came down the aisle, he took a seat on the front pew. Now, this is just a fictitious story, but illustrates a point that I want to make. Everyone suspected that, well, this may be the Christ. Well, can you imagine the quietness and the reverence that captured the scene? The songs were never sung with such great earnestness. The prayers were never uttered with greater thought and sincerity. The preacher never preached with such meaning and intensity. Everyone gave more than they usually did. Why, the observance of the Lord's Supper was never so meaningful and reverently observed. And why? It was because those that were there, they thought the Lord was present. Friend, do we not realize that our Lord is present with us every worship service? Where two or three are gathered together, the Lord is in our midst. Just because we do not see a physical figure in dazzling clothes sitting there in our midst, that doesn't mean he's not there. He has promised to be there. Shall not we respect his spiritual presence and exercise a great reverence, the kind of reverence of which we're capable? And we preach often on the need of improvement at attendance at the worship services. Now, some don't need to be encouraged in this because they're always there. Whenever they're physically able, they're always there. They don't need to be rebuked because they're always there. But we know there are times when it's unavoidable that we maybe have to be absent. Problems arise. It may be bad weather. It may be illness. It may be something has happened on the way to the worship services. Well, we're confident that God knows when and where we can be attendance. But when one is sick and can't attend, or maybe it would be a health hazard to others for him to attend, or maybe he's taking care of the sick. But there are emergencies sometimes that do arise. But do we not realize that to deliberately absent oneself from the worship service is to sin? And we neglect a sacred privilege and an obligation, Hebrews 10:25. You want to make an improvement? Listen to me, Christian brother or sister. You can make an improvement, if need be, to be faithful at all the services of the church. And let me mention something else. Another area where there may be room for improvement, and that's our willingness to be involved in the work with the rest of the members of the church when there's work to be done. Now, some are always ready and willing and able to do anything that demands attention. We admire brethren like that. We ought to be among those like that. Why should people have to be begged to do the Lord's work? He's our Lord, and we need to do what we can for him. Those in charge of getting the work done sometimes have to announce and call and urge and plead over and over for people to help in carrying out the work. That's not the way it ought to be. It's a good reflection when there is interest and love and concern for the work that the church needs to be doing. We have opportunities to demonstrate our love for Christ and our love for others. Why are we so backward sometimes from being involved? People sometimes talk about what they are doing at church. Well, it is because it's they, but it ought to be we are doing. Now, we don't want to be overly critical to our brethren. Some brethren are in the work. They're worshiping fervently. They're giving liberally. They're living righteously. They deserve every commendation. Even though they're not accountable unto us, but accountable to God, but they are commendable. But we feel confident that every one of us, we want the affairs of the church to be that which would attract people to Christ, not repel them from Christ. And we want to be a part of that which would uplift the cause of Christ and the church. Therefore, we need to look at ourselves. We need to recognize that maybe we have room for improvement, and we need to learn that we can improve. And then when we see where we can improve and we see how we can improve, then we ought to put forth the necessary effort and energy to improve. You know, the improvement of the things of the worship services of the church, and that's where we placed our emphasis today, it begins with me. My part begins with me. Your part begins with you. Each individual must improve for the body to improve. The greatest improvement, of course, that some people can make in their entire life is to come to Jesus Christ. If they stay outside of Christ, they remain lost. Christ offers forgiveness and salvation to those that will come to him. And if you want to make a real improvement, friend, you need to obey the gospel of Christ. You need to be a part of that body. You need to be growing with your fellow Christian brothers and sisters and in marching toward heaven one with the other, helping each other get to that desired goal of living with God eternally. Don't you believe that we can improve? Surely we want to do that. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.